141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi say they're ready to be the catalyst for Rangers' success during today's EGM as Nicholas Kuhn closing in on a move to RB Leipzig and Celtic legend and Lisbon Lion John Clark sadly passes away at the age of 84. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Roger Hannah.
Yeah, and a strange day as the beginning of a new era at Rangers with Kavanagh and Marathi speaking at the EGM, and very sadly it's the end of an era. At Celtic Park, John Clark was a towering figure at the football club for over 60 years. This is a man who won a European Cup among 15 major honours in his Celtic career. He played alongside Billy McNeil in Lisbon against Inter Milan in 1967. He came back with Billy McNeil as assistant manager at the football club. And in later years, Andrew, you know yourself, he was kit man. He was a figure around the club that everyone knew, everyone held in the highest regard. And can you imagine nowadays a footballer winning the Champions League and going back to the club and humping the kit about later years? John Clark was a wonderful family man, a wonderful human being. He had great humility, and he will be missed immensely by the Celtic family.
Yeah, I think almost 50 years of service for Celtic, for John Clark. I'm sure there are many supporters out there who have some thoughts. Maybe you met John Clark at one point and have some stories you want to share as well. 0141 951 1025. We would love to hear them. Maybe you're a Rangers fan out there who attended today's EGM. You heard from Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi for the first time. They've spoken this evening as well. We'll hear a bit of that as well. I want to know your thoughts, your initial impressions of the two main men at the club now, Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi. There was also maybe developments when it comes to Nicholas Kuhn closing in potentially on a move to RB Leipzig. A few other things happening as well. Liam Donnelly signed for St Mirren today after leaving Kilmarnock on a 2-year deal. As a new assistant manager at Motherwell as well. So a busy start to the week, Roger.
It actually has been, yeah. Liam Donnelly, I didn't see that coming at all, completely out of the blue. We should have thought about it, Andrew. Did work with Stephen Robinson at Motherwell many years ago, a countryman of his. I think it'd be a good sign. I thought he ended the season well at Kilmarnock. They need somebody in there with Caelan Boyd months away to Wickham. So, you know, it did catch us out, but when you actually take a step back and look at it, a sensible move. Motherwell, Max Rogers and his number two. He was Sean Maloney's right-hand man at Wigan until he left at the end of the season. But he knows Scottish football as well. He was up at a spell behind the scenes at St Mirren in the past. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on with Jens Bertel Ascu.
Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's go and speak to William, who's a Rangers fan in Stevenston. William, what did you make of the EGM today? Were you there, or is it just snippets that you've seen online? Are you there, William?
Hello, Andrew and Roger.
Hi,
I'd just like, before I start, to give condolences to the Clark family and then the Celtic Football Club. He was a true legend for that club. And I'm just giving all the best. I just thought I'd put that point across first.
Well said, William. Yep.
Yeah, I seen snippets of the AGM. They did speak well and that. And I was one of the Rangers fans that came on and I was underwhelmed with the appointment of the manager. I got a lot of stick for conceding the title for friends, family, rival Celtic fans. But what I will say is, right, they did impress me today. With all their snippets and their talk, but what I will say to him is, as Roger knows, he's a big football man. There's 31 days right to that Panathinaikos game, and there's no significant additions in the building. We need, in my opinion, before the start of the season, at least 5 or 6 quality players. Maybe not as much for the Panathinaikos match, but we do need to start getting a move on. What do you think, Roger?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You watch the players coming back to Auchinhowie this morning, William, and all coming in, and you know the numbers are down. A lot of players away. A lot of the guys who are out of contract have left. The loan players have gone back to their clubs. Some of the younger players were freed at the end of their contracts as well. So when you see them get in, you know, you almost forget about Kieran Dowell and Ben Davis coming back to the club as they go, and Jose Sifuentes and people like that all going in. So Without doubt, Rangers will need to bolster the squad before the Panathinaikos game. I believe Max Ahrens will come in. Kwame Poku has been spoken highly of as well. I think you'll see another striker in. For me, they probably need another centre-half in as well before the European game. And it is a huge game. You know, Rangers will need to get through three ties if they're to get to that new-look group stage, Andrew. The first tie is daunting enough.
During the EGM, William, I think one of the questions that was asked was straight to the point. I think someone asked, what players are Rangers going to get in this window? And I think Parag Marat, he said, efforts will be kept quiet and will surprise folks with the ones they bring in. Does that give you a bit of optimism that maybe there is quite a bit of work going on behind the scenes that could just surprise fans and might come out of nowhere?
Yes, Andrew, they're very, very clever men, right? I'm not going to disclose what money they'll go at and what money they're going to spend, but obviously because of the transfer, it'll go up and it'll go down. If we say we'll get this X amount of money, the other clubs will boost it. They're very clever. What I'll say is, right, the thing that's giving me hope, these are clever, clever men. They're not coming up here, in my opinion, to Scotland to finish second. They're coming up here to get Rangers started and start to win things and hopefully overtake Celtic. They're not coming up here to finish second. And that's just my opinion. That's probably the opinion of a lot of Rangers fans. These are clever men. Marag, he's got leads. He's got leads going, right? And this boy Kavanagh, he's a very clever man. I think, but I'm still underwhelmed with the appointment, but I'm here to be surprised by Russell Martin. Oh. I hope he proves me wrong, right? I really do. You know what I mean? I don't want to concede any titles or anything like that. You know what I mean? I hope he does prove me wrong.
I'll give you a technicality. This isn't just down to Rangers. This could affect any club, William, but you get to this time, we're into what, July, sorry, June now. What is it today, Andrew?
23rd.
Most clubs' financial years finish in June the 30th, and a lot of transfer activity sometimes is delayed longer than you'd like because they like to put the money in the next financial year's accounts, William. So sometimes when you get to this kind of time of June the 23rd, we have to be patient for a week or so because sometimes clubs prefer, for their own reasons, to either get stuff done very, very quickly before June the 30th or delay it until after July the 1st so that money's seen to begin out in the following year's accounts. It depends on club's own financial state. So you just wonder if there is a little period of inactivity at Rangers and Celtic just now. Maybe it's because they want any incoming deals to go in next year's accounts.
Is that why you've been saying to the wife that you can't take her out for dinner this week? And it'll be next week. Next week. William,
so you're not far wrong, Andrew.
William, so I know you obviously said yourself, you came on a few weeks ago when Russell Martin was appointed, you conceded the title already. Have you had a change of heart, a change of opinion to that now that you've heard from Parag Marat and Andrew Kavanagh today?
I'm still underwhelmed with the appointment, right? But I'm not underwhelmed with new owners and the people that's on the club. I want to put that point across. I'm very happy with the people that's took over the club. As I say, I hope Russell Martin...
William, is it then about maybe trusting, if you're quite happy with, you know, those appointments of Andrew Kavanagh, or sorry, the takeover, Andrew Kavanagh, Parag Marat coming in, is it about then trusting their judgment that they've got the right man to do the job? I think Andrew Kavanagh was asked specifically about why Russell Martin was their choice today, and he went through 4 points of why he feels Russell Martin is the right man. He says, one, somebody who would coach to what we think is the right style of play or game model. Two, someone that would build the culture and the way we think it needs to be built. Three, someone who will develop talent. And fourth, someone who will win matches. He says Russell Martin was the standout across all of those metrics unanimously among their team.
The thing is, Andrew, as well, you know, I listened to the show the night that the 49ers and Andrew Kavanagh takeover was confirmed. Every Rangers fan on the show was delighted to welcome the Americans into the club. So when Russell Martin's then appointed 6 days later, I don't think you can suddenly criticise the first major decision that the new owners take. If you're welcoming them in, you have to give them the leeway to run the place the way they want. And what they want, as you say, is this head coach who ticked the 4 boxes they wanted to be ticked.
Well, let's hear a bit from Andrew Kavanagh, shall we? He's been speaking to Rangers TV this evening, and he was speaking about the three main things that attracted them to Rangers.
There are many different things that attracted us, but I think I keep coming back to three. The first are the supporters themselves. The breadth of the fan base is incredible. Millions of supporters around the world, 600 supporter clubs. I think we sold over 400,000 kits recently in a year. And not just the breadth, but also the depth of the passion. Anytime you have a conversation with a supporter, you can just sort of feel the electricity emanating from them, their love for the club. So supporters would be the first thing. Second is this, Ibrox. It's our castle. It's an incredibly tough place to come and play as an opposing team, which gives us a competitive advantage. And then it's a magical place to come as a supporter. And the third are the competitions. Every year we have a chance to win the league, to win two cups, and to play in Europe. I think most clubs would be thrilled to have any one of those three. And at Rangers, we get all three of those.
Thank you to William. We'll hear a bit more from Andrew Kavanagh later in the show, but let's go back to the phones. Connor is a Celtic fan in Hamilton. Connor, what have you got for us tonight?
Just to get your thoughts on the interest that Celtic have targeted Shin and Nydren. Now, Nydren is believed to sign a 4-year contract at Parkhead. It's just to see how your opinions would fit in, like how they would fit in, obviously. You know how well the Kyogo and Dijamaye done that, so that would obviously settle if we got Shin, because they would obviously gel from the Japan League as well. So, but on Nydren's point, how would he fit in?
Yeah, I mean, it seems a sort of concerted effort from Celtic and Brendan Rodgers that front line is really something that they're looking to improve and add numbers to. Roger, with Connor saying, you know, where does Benjamin Nygren fit in? And then Shin Yamada, who looks as if Celtic could potentially be going to Japan for another option.
Well, Nygren, really, really flexible player. He can play wide, he can play up top, he can sort of play in behind, if you like. Talk of Celtic viewing him just a little bit deeper, you know, maybe playing in, as one of that midfield three. Comes with a really good reputation. Not a big transfer fee because his contract's down to the last 6 months with Norgeland. I think the lad's been away on holiday. My understanding is, Andrew, everything's more or less done. He's coming in a 4-year contract and it will be announced possibly after the 1st of July. Shin Yamada, Celtic know about Kawasaki Frontale. That's where Rio Hitati came from. This guy's getting a good reputation. He will be coming to Europe and I think Celtic want to get in and get him. You talk about Brendan wanting to beef up the attacking options. You need to remember Jota's going to be out for a period of time at the start of the season. Nicholas Kuhn, I believe, is edging closer to an exit and a return to RB Leipzig. I'm not convinced that Brendan Rodgers is sold on Yang. He likes him better than Hugh Keevans likes him. But that maybe doesn't say a great deal. James Forrest will be another year older, so I don't think it does any harm to refresh those areas. I think Nydren will come in. I think there's a really good chance Shin Yamada could come in. I would think there'd be another winger to come yet as well, Andrew.
Are those options that would excite you, Connor?
Yeah, I was just going to say as well, Roger, do you think that if Nydren did come in, would he then play on the wing where Jota is or through the middle? Because we know obviously Maeda plays in the middle, he's sort of better, but then also plays in the wing as well, which is where would they fit in,
I think he's one of these players, even if Hitati missed the last couple of games of the season, including the Scottish Cup final, Connor, he's even one I think could go into that kind of Hitati role, almost like a kind of advanced number eight slightly. He is a versatile player, and we haven't had a chance to speak to Brendan since the Cup final, so we don't really know where Brendan views his preferred position, but I don't think he's a bad guy to have around the place because he can operate in different roles. I still think Maeda will be through the middle next season. 33 goals has probably earned him the right to be there.
Is he the number one striker for you next season, Connor? As you see Dida Maeda's future as the number nine through the middle, not out wide?
I'd still be up there with Maeda, yeah. But as I said, that's Benjamin Nygren guy. He scored 16 times for the Danish side, so he could be up there as well with the maybe top goal scorer as well. It just depends how he hits the ground running when he does come to Parkhead.
Yeah, I mean, the deal you mentioned that Roger, he's got 6 months left on his contract. Celtic are able to get him on a cut price deal. I think they're pushing hard to make sure that they go out and get him this summer, so they don't have to face competition for him as a free transfer at the end of the year. Yeah. This is just Celtic trying to continue this player trading model. And if Nicholas Kuhn does exit and does leave for, say, a reported £15 million, he joined for, what was it, £2.5-3 million pounds? That would be essentially the model that they'll be looking to go forward.
It's terrific business. And, Celtic fans, they enjoyed what they saw from Nicholas Coon the first 6 months of last season, but I think they realise as well, if there's a bid of, in the region of £15 million, you know, Celtic have no option but to accept it. And then they just start the model again. In comes Nygren, maybe in comes Yamada. And I still think, you know, they've been linked to it. Lies like, you know, Balakwisha in the Belgian league, or Slater in the Norwegian league. I still think there will be another winger to come in because, you know, if you're missing Jota and you're missing Coon, and, you know, we spoke about the limitations of Yang, I think Brendan Rodgers, will, if he's wanting to go as far as Europe as he did last season, Andrew, he will need more attacking options.
Connor, were you hoping to see Nicholas Coon stay this summer? There's obviously potential that he could leave. Is he one that you would have liked to keep a hold of, or are you not minding if he leaves if the fee's right?
A bit 50-50. Like, obviously, he's sort of experienced Champions League up here, and obviously he could have go somewhere else and potentially experience it more, way better qualifying, or be actually successful in it. You know, it's a bit of a 50-50 one. If he goes for the right price, then that's good, because we obviously get a profit from it as well. So, yeah, we're quite all right. I'd maybe hold on for him for one more year.
I do get where Connor's coming from with the sort of 50-50 thing, because with Nicholas Coon, there seems to be quite a high ceiling, but maybe quite a low floor as well, that the distance between him, or the gap between him at his best and him at his worst, is quite wide, isn't it, Roger?
I think his best was probably against Leipzig last season, mm-hmm. wasn't it? That performance at Celtic Park. But he didn't always hit those heights, and it will be niggling away at the manager the way Celtic finished the season. Not so much in the league, because the league was won, and if you drop points after the league's won, it doesn't matter too much. But they couldn't raise their game again in the cup final. And that's when you need to look for those flair players, the wingers, the attacking midfield players.
There were those harsh words, was it after the St Johnston game, yeah, where he was saying that he would be looking to freshen it up in the summer because he wasn't happy with
100%. And I think, you know, in the calendar year of 2024, Celtic lost twice. In the first 6 months of this year, I think they've lost seven games if you include the shootout against Aberdeen. Brendan Rodgers will have noted that and will know the way to win more games is to have more attacking options.
Well, thank you to Connor. Celtic fans, any more thoughts on that? 01419511025. Maybe you want to share some memories or stories of John Clark after his sad passing today at the age of 84. And Rangers fans, I'd like to hear your thoughts on today's EGM. Maybe you were there and you've got some thoughts on Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marat. We'd like to hear them. 01419511025. But we've always got time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Roger Hannah's still on -2 for the Summer League. He's still not happy about it, and you can play him. 01419511025 for your chance to play Beat the Pundit against Roger Hannah next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want to hear from you. 01419511025. Rangers fans, we've heard today from Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marat. It was the EGM. It kind of is the official start to the new era, the takeover at Rangers. We want to know what you're thinking of how they came across today. Maybe you're at the EGM and have some thoughts, give us a call. Celtic fans want to know any stories or memories you've got of John Clark, the Lisbon Lion, sadly passing away today at the age of 84. I'm sure plenty of you have some memories there, or any other thoughts on anything else. 01419511025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Got your first victory of the summer last week. I say first victory, it was your first game as well.
Yeah, good fun.
Happy, good form. Pleased with how it's going.
Early days.
You're still really over. You're still trying to... That is true, actually. You're still trying to fight this minus two, aren't you?
That's a nonsense.
What do you think your chances are of getting it reviewed at the end of the summer league? You think you're just going to be on -2?
I'm realistic forever, probably.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I don't get a say in it, though. All I'm saying is you're -2 tonight, and that's all that matters to me. And it's going to be Paul in Paisley that you're up against. Paul, have you played before?
I've played before, Randall, and I beat Hugh Keevan. 5-4.
A thriller. Let's see.
High scoring.
It is, yeah. Let's see.
But I'm up against a master here, so.
But I tell you what, if you get five right and Roger's on minus two, you're in with a good shout. So we will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Roger Hanna. Paul, you know the rules anyway, but it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. And remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. Yep. How does that sound? Let's do it. Which current Scottish Premiership team won the 22-23 Scottish Championship?
St Mirren.
Gary Mackay-Stephen has joined which club? What age is Lennon Miller?
19.
True or false, Kenny Miller has played for five of the current Scottish Premiership teams?
True.
Botafogo face Atletico Madrid in the Club World Cup tonight, but what country are they from? Okay, we will bring Roger Hanna back in. Can you hear us, Roger?
Well, thank goodness you're back. I'm usually a great fan of Greatest Hits Radio, but I do not know what that was. The entire time you were away, there was a guitar solo playing in my ear.
You're not enjoying it, no?
No.
You're more of a lyric man.
Yes, definitely. Mm. I'll need to have word with Ken Bruce or somebody.
Right, we'll get on to them. But this is more important, this is more pressing. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, let's go. Which current Scottish Premiership team won the 22-23 Scottish Championship?
Dundee.
Gary Mackay-Stephen has joined which club?
Ross County.
What age is Lennon Miller?
18.
True or false, Kenny Miller has played for five of the current Scottish Premiership clubs. Botafogo face Atletico Madrid at the Club World Cup, but what country are they from?
Brazil.
Who was the last Old Firm player to score for the Scotland men's national team?
John Souter.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit played for Bournemouth, Burnley, Hibs and Livingston?
Marvin Bartley.
Andy Graham is the current manager of which Aloha SPFL
Athletic
club? Paul, how do you think it went?
Beat that. Roger, you're a master. That's
what I'm Yeah, he was a man in form today, Roger Hanna, and I think we will see that when I go through the answers. Which current Scottish Premiership team won the 22-23 Scottish Championship? Paul wasn't off to a good start because he took a bit of time over it. He was humming and hawing, yeah. And then he said St Mirren, which was incorrect. It was Dundee that, of course, Roger Hanna got. So it goes 1-0 to Roger Hanna. Gary Mackay-Stephen has joined which club? Paul said Dundee United. Incorrect, it's Ross County, which Roger Hanna said. 2-0 to Roger Hanna. What age is Lennon Miller? Paul went for 19, Roger went for 18. It is 18, 3-0 to Roger Hanna. True or false, Kenny Miller has played for five of the current Scottish Premiership clubs. Paul said true, Roger said true. It was true. Rangers, Celtic, Dundee, Hibs, Livingston. So 4-1 it is to Roger Hanna. Botafogo face Atletico Madrid in the Club World Cup tonight, but where are they from? Paul said New Zealand. Slightly further away from New Zealand, it's Brazil, as Roger said. 5-1 to Roger Hanna. That was the end of the road for Paul. Roger got three more questions in. Did he get all three right? And could he be going for the 10? Who was the last Old Firm player to score for the Scotland men's national team? You said John Souter. He scored against Iceland, and that was the last player to score. So correct, 6-1. Which Super Scoreboard pundit played for Bournemouth, Burnley, Hibs and Livingston? Of course it's Marvin Bartley. 7-1 to Roger Hanna. Could he make it 8 out of 8? Andy Graham is the current manager of which SPFL club? You said Aloha Athletic. You are correct. An 8-1 win for Roger Hanna, which of course is technically 6-1 with the minus 2, but it means that Roger Hanna is 8 from 8, and as we always do, he's going for the 10. Can he get the 10 right? Two more questions to go.
Big pressure.
And I think you've got a good chance here.
Oh, I don't say that.
I think you've got a good chance here. Which team did Craig Levein become manager of in November 2023?
St Johnston.
St Johnston is correct. And finally, name any of the teams that will contest the Stirlingshire Cup final tomorrow night.
Falkirk.
You could have had
Stenhousemuir
or Falkirk. Roger Hanna not only wins, but gets the 10. Not bad, Roger. Happy with that?
Yes, I have to say, yeah, happy with that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Paul, unfortunately,
thanks, Paul,
you had no chance. However, Paul, stay on the line because I want to pick your brain. You are a Rangers fan, and today was the EGM. What did you make of what you heard today from Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marat?
Yep. Well, just before I say that, I just want to say congratulations, Roger. Well deserved.
Thanks, Paul.
Gracious in defeat, Paul. I like it.
If I could be with anyone, I would take getting beat off the master. Anyway, listen, I've been a big fan of the takeover. I think to be honest, every Rangers fan is. I think Dave King and the Park family and everybody else did their best for good reasons. Did they do it always right? No, I think they lost a lot of money and poor decisions were made, but they always had the club at heart. I think the whole Rangers fan base were just, what's the word, just desperate for kind of some sort of investment. So for it to offensively go through, I think it was a monumentous day on the 30th of May when it got announced. So what it came out was, I had one of your callers saying they're clever people and whatnot, and they are. I mean, the 49ers Enterprise, I think they are, put it through bad decisions. They're a global organisation. I think for the first time since my history, I've been a Rangers fan, and I'm 41, it's going to be a properly run business. I think people like David Murray brought, you know, some fantastic years to Rangers, but it caused a lot of financial issues later down the road, you know. So I think, you know, and I don't know what Roger thinks here and what you think, Andrew, but I just think they'll make decisions that we won't always be happy with. One of them being Russell Martin, because I was quite underwhelmed with that name, because I think everybody bought into like Gerrard and Ancelotti and whatnot, but I think they're going to make a few decisions that are going to make us a bit unhappy at times. But you only have to look across the divide at Celtic, and Fergus McCann did that, and look at the legacy they've been left with. So if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm just going to accept that. But I think they're going to run it like a business, and that's the way we should be run, to be honest. And they're, as I said, a successful organisation.
Yeah, what Paul mentions there about it being, you know, run like a business and, you know, quite analytical at times, some of the decision making, Roger, there may well be times that Rangers supporters either don't like or maybe don't understand some of the decisions being made. Do you think that there will just need to be patience across the board from Rangers supporters, or should it just be excitement from Rangers supporters about what's to come?
Well, listen, we've seen an example of it already. The first decision they made, appointing Russell Martin, wasn't universally embraced by the Rangers support. And Paul's right, you know, across the city, he mentioned Fergus McCann. In more recent times, a lot of the decisions Peter Lawwell and Michael Nicholson have made at Celtic have not always been warmly embraced by the fan base. But they're doing it because they're running a business. And I don't think anyone could really criticise the way they've run that business. So I think, you know, as you say, Paul, I think it will be run more like a business the way other 49ers enterprises have been run in the past. Is that going to be good enough to let the first team be better than Celtic's first team next season? That's what none of us know, and that's what makes it really fascinating. They're going to put money in. They're going to encourage Russell Martin to play the style of football that he wants and they want. And from the 3rd of August, when the new season kicks off, it will be a terrific watch, I think, between the two of them.
What is it you're most looking forward to about the new era, Paul? Is it the, you know, the immediate transfer window and who potentially could be coming in?
I'm excited about that. I just wanted to touch up on the youth system, but before I do that, what I'm excited about is the stability, Andrew. I was reading an article by Campy Bell, who's on your show sometimes, and he was saying at the time when he was at Rangers, he was, you know, you were going through about four or five chairmen, the whole Charles Green fiasco, and we were running like, not even a, I wouldn't embarrass any other teams by naming them, but we were running like a, like just, you know, not professional, put it that way. We're just, it was an embarrassment. So I'm excited about the stability, the financial stability, and these are proper people with proper backgrounds who know, they've got a track record, they know running not just football clubs but NFL and stuff like that, you know. So they're here, as one of your callers said, to win. They're not here to accept second place, and I like their statements and things like that, things they're coming out with, and it's a lot more professional. That's what I think. And I think the guys that ran it before, like Dave King and that, as I said, the club at heart, and all the background people, but these guys are just on another level. And that's not being disrespectful, because Dave King and that have been successful in their own era, but this is just another level. But just if I could say something about the youth system, is that alright?
Yep, on you go.
Just to see what Roger thinks as well. Listen, as I said, I grew up in the 90s era, and through dominating Scottish football and whatnot. But I remember when Dick Adzka was the manager, and, you know, part of his kind of process was to get David Murray to build Murray Park, or as we now know, it's Rockingham and whatnot. But he said, we need this because we need to start bringing through youth. That was in the 90s.
Mm, yeah.
And I could probably count in one hand the amount of youth that has come through. So
I mean, listen, you could see the training ground paid for itself with the sales of Alan Hutton and Nathan Patterson over the years, Paul. But I mean, that's two players in 25 years who have gone for, you know, considerable sums of money. It is notoriously difficult. You look across the city as well, you know, Kieran Tierney went for a lot of money, but the other main guys who have come through Celtic's academy are still there. You know, Callum McGregor and James Forrest, and they didn't make money in them, albeit they probably could have done over the years. So it's notoriously difficult to do. You would see again, a lot of guys went in the summer that Rangers probably had high hopes for. You know, the likes of Cole McKinnon, Adam Devine had a taste of the first team and have now been let go. So it is difficult to do. And it'll be interesting to see, there's a now, you know, Russell Martin is the shop window, if you like, of the club. But the Kevin Thelwells, the sporting director, and people in his department, they will now be charged with trying to get more players through into the team and then into a position that they can sell them on.
Well, thank you to Paul. Let's hear a bit more from Andrew Kavanagh speaking to Rangers TV this evening. He says they'll keep their cards close to their chest when it comes to how much they'll have to spend in this summer's transfer market. He says there's a lot of work to do, but they're ready.
We'll try to be transparent about a great many things at the club, but then we'll also be very opaque with other things, and this is one of those. So we are investing $20 million into the club by the end of the month, but it doesn't do us any good to talk about how much of that's going to go into the squad, what position, et cetera, because that just makes our job harder in the window. I think I would say that there is work to be done, and we are ready for that. We look forward to it. Getting this deal completed is not the finish line. We are now at the starting line. This club needs a catalyst, and Parag and I are prepared to lead the effort to be that catalyst. So we're thrilled to be part of the club.
Can you understand that from a business sense, Roger? I think a lot of Rangers fans would love Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Murat to come out and say there is going to be X amount of million to spend in this transfer window, but quite a few times across the course of today, Andrew Kavanagh, Parag Murat saying that is an area they will be, you know, opaque with. They're not going to be overly transparent because it maybe doesn't work in a transfer market if clubs all of a sudden just know exactly how much money you've got to spend.
No, if you walk into a shop and say you've got £100 to spend, Andrew, you know, they'll take the £100 off you. So it doesn't do anybody any good for that. There are, you know, flexibilities within this. They will need to spend money on Ibrox. They'll probably need to spend money on the training ground as well. You're just talking maintenance things, you know, things that haven't been done in recent years that need to be done. So the money will go there. But, you know, say they spend £2 or £3 million doing that, that doesn't necessarily mean that Russell Martin's only got £17 or £18 million, because money could come in for Cyril Dessers. Money could come in for other players, you know, as bids come in. They might well sell Ridvan Yilmaz. You know, there is scope there. Once Russell Martin gets a look at the squad, who's to say Ben Davis and Kieran Dowell won't go back down south? They can't get some money for Jose Cifuentes. So it's a very fluid situation. I don't think people should just sort of focus on £20 million and say that, you know, that's all he's got, either, you know, positively or negatively.
Well, thank you to Paul, 01419511025. We will take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get your calls in. 01419511025. We've been looking at Rangers EGM today with Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi speaking for the first time and reflecting on John Clark as well, the Lisbon Lion Celtic legend who sadly has passed away today at the age of 84. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, sad news today.
Absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, listen, this man had won 6 league titles, 3 Scottish Cups, 5 League Cups, the European Cup. The greatest legacy ever left was his family, and that's the truth. I was lucky enough to know, and still am lucky enough to know, his daughter and his granddaughter. And to meet him, you know, like, for a man, I was born in 1967 when the great team happened and won the European Cup. So growing up, it was, you know, like a beacon. Every time anybody spoke about it, you wanted to, you know, gobble up and find out, you know, what it was like. I really am a bit jealous of the older supporters that went through it. But when you meet a Lisbon Lion, it's just, you know, like, I turn to jelly, you know what I mean? Because that's the way it is. It's just, you're in you revere them, and that's the truth. And to lose a great man like John Clark is it's sore. It feels a bit like family, So he was a beautiful person. I mean, and he was the most humble, approachable man I've ever met in football. And outside football, as I say, his whole life was about his girls. And I just want to say to the whole Celtic family, we're all hurting, and we'll send him off. We'll give him the send off that he deserves. And I hope Celtic are going to, pitch in and do what they do. And the whole Celtic family get together and console each other when we lose one of these. We've got four left, That's it's a hard day for every Celtic fan. God bless John Clark. God bless them all,
I don't think there's any doubt Celtic will give John the send-off he deserves, Brian. Very nice words today from Peter Longwell, Brendan Rodgers and Michael Nicholson after the club announced John's passing. As we said at the top of the show, he was just held in the highest of esteem by everyone. Within minutes of the news, the story likes of Chris Sutton and John Hartson leading, the tributes from players of a modern age, players who would never have seen John Clark play. Didn't know John Clark, the footballer. And by the way, as a footballer, he once had Pele in his pocket in a Scotland-Brazil game in the mid-60s so he could play a bit. But these were tributes from people who just knew John Clark as a man. And he was beloved by everyone in the Celtic family. And as Brian says, he will get the send-off worthy of a Lisbon Lion legend.
You mentioned it earlier on, Roger, the fact that John Clark was not only a Lisbon Lion, but then went on to be assistant manager in a successful spell, under Billy McNeil, and then went on to become the kit man in, I think, the mid-90s and was there for around 20 years or so. Just that story and that devotion to Celtic, the fact that, he was kind of willing to just do anything for Celtic just to contribute and to make sure that he was playing his part for the club that he loved.
And to be around the club and, what's the retirement age now? They say 65-ish. I mean, he was working as a kit man well into his 70s. I think he got a sort of great sort of lifetime achievement award or something from the club in the time, when Martin O'Neill was there. Countless managers loved working with John Clark. The players loved working with John Clark, and it really is a sad day for Celtic Football Club.
And there maybe are flashier names, you would say, out of the Lisbon Lions, maybe some of the ones that the younger fans would be more inclined to know more about. John Clark's maybe not one of those, but he seems like the type of character that wouldn't mind that at all.
I think that's absolutely correct. Over the years, a lot of the headlines, went to the goal scorers. Gemmell, Chalmers, they went to the captain, Big Billy. They went to Jinky, obviously because he was Jinky. They went to Bobby Lennox because he was a goal scorer. Bertie Auld because of Bertie's outgoing character, his personality. But John Clark was a huge figure among that team. I think injury sort of prematurely brought an end to his playing days at Celtic. Played for a little while at Morton. They managed the likes of Clyde. He won Scotland caps, as we said, Andrew, but a huge towering figure, and I'm not even going to say the modern history of Celtic, in the history of Celtic.
Well, thank you to Brian. A nice tribute from Brian on the phone there about John Clark, Lisbon Lion, who sadly passed away today at the age of 84. Let's stick with the phone. Stephen is a Celtic fan in Springboig. Stephen, what are you thinking tonight?
Just my condolences to the Clark family, first of all. My point is, the last caller that was on, he was going on about Rangers and the 49ers and whatever, and they're successful and everything they do. Could any of you on the panel tell me the last time that San Francisco's 49ers done anything?
I'll tell you what, you're asking the right pundit, because Roger Hanna is a big NFL NFL fan, aren't you?
Been to Super Bowls recently. I think Kansas City Chiefs beat them in the Super Bowl. So to get there, you need to win the NFC Championship. You need to be the best team in that conference in American football. So they've done fine. They've got a few decent players there. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brock Purdy is a quarterback just now. So they will have high hopes again. They had a bad season last season. Injury hit. They will have big ambitions to come back this season. But if you're asking if they won the Scottish Cup the last few years,
Stephen, just tuning in right now, that's Rogers just listing off San Francisco 49ers players, must be wondering what on earth is going on in Super Scoreboard at the moment. But Stephen, just You know, is it the fact that you feel the 49ers haven't been a success and that means Rangers aren't going to be? Was that your thinking?
Well, you see, they were in charge of Leeds United for 3 years before they get Leeds up. Is that correct?
I think there was a period where they had a stake in Leeds, but not a controlling stake in Leeds. Roger, is that right? For maybe a couple of years, and
yeah,
then took control, and then obviously got Leeds promoted, finished top of the English Championship this season. So certainly, you know, have found success in the last season with Leeds United.
And listen, they'll have another challenge there next season, because the last couple of years, the gap between the teams going up into the Premier League and those already there has widened. You saw it again the season there, Southampton, Ipswich and Leicester, straight back down. I think it was the same the season before. It's the first time it's ever happened, Andrew. So Leeds will have a lot of work in their hands just to stay in the top flight next season. I think that would be of huge importance to the 49ers enterprises, to keep Leeds in there, to promote their brand, to promote everything they want to do. They need to be in the English Premier League. So it's a big season for them, both north and south of the border.
Is it quite tough to tell? I mean, first of all, comparing Rangers to Leeds United, trying to compare Rangers to the San Francisco 49ers is very tough. But in terms of track record and what they've done, is it just hard to compare because there are just such different circumstances between? It could be a success elsewhere and it might not work at Rangers, could have been a failure elsewhere and it could work at Rangers. There's so many variables.
Yeah, I don't think you can compare, you know, the 49ers team with the Rangers team at all. I'm not even sure it's fair to compare Leeds with Rangers. You know, they're different leagues and different circumstances, there's different money all around the place. You know, Rangers are getting, as we spoke, £20 million. I think Brock Purdy, the quarterback of the 49ers, next season will earn probably twice that. So that just shows you the sort of financial disparity between the NFL and the SPFL. Much of Neil Doncaster's annoyance, I would imagine, Andrew. So it's very difficult. You really are comparing two different things.
Stephen, have you got no concerns, or is it not really something you're thinking too much about, Rangers takeover, how it will affect Celtic?
No, no concerns whatsoever, but I honestly think that Celtic and Rangers are far bigger than a lot of teams in England, right? Apart from maybe Man United and Liverpool, right? £20 million isn't going to touch anything that Rangers are looking for. Rangers are looking for a lot more than that to catch up with Celtic. £20 million isn't going to do a single thing.
You look at the end of the last summer window, Stephen. Celtic spent 25 in a matter of days getting in Engels, Ida and Trusty. So, you know, Celtic have that capability. There's still money there in the bank. So if Rangers did spend £20 million, you know yourself, Celtic have the capability to spend that and more this summer if they so wish.
A lot of it is about how you use the money as well, Roger, because Rangers could go out and say £20 million is their budget. They could go out and spend £10 million on two different players and they might not work out, or they might end up doing some shrewd business and not spending the £20 million, but spending a chunk of it, and that could work out. It's always tough to tell.
You never know how it's going to work. As we say, the players could go out the door, Dessers and Yilmaz just being two. If offers come in, they can sell those players, you know, between them £6 or £7 million. That then adds to the kitty. There's all manner of things open to Russell Martin.
Well, thank you to Stephen, and thank you for all your calls out there tonight. We had plenty of calls on that Rangers EGM. Some nice tributes as well to Lisbon Lion John Clark after his sad passing at the age of 84. We'll have plenty more tomorrow as well from 6 o'clock. But as I said, thank you for your calls. Thank you for tuning in, watching the live stream as well, and for getting involved on social media. Thanks to Roger Hanna in the studio. And it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.